And let's greet each other.
Testing, 1, 2. Praise the Lord. I think, amen. It's just, should be right, amen, to have Brother and Sister Johnson stand, say a few words, tell us how your week's going, amen, and pick us up. And if you go for 45 minutes, we go home. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a spoken request tonight? I don't think we've gone to prayer, right, Sister? Okay. All right. Amen. I believe it's Brother Pierce that's waiting for a lever, correct? Amen. Let's remember him in prayer. Sister Day? All right. Remember that need? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. D? Okay. She's still talking. He only hit her again. Amen. Then she would sit there and be quiet. Sister. Brother Chuck was in an accident today. Car ran a stop sign and broadsided him. I think he's fine. I was up and the doctors were not too concerned about it. I think his head took the brunt of it, and so that probably made it okay. Amen. But he's really had a bad year. I mean, he's been laid up for a while now with his leg. He had fallen off of a ladder a number of months ago and just pretty well shattered every bone in the bottom part of his leg, and so he's been wrestling with that, and then this happened today, and so let's hold them up, Sister Brenda as well as himself, and so let's stand together and let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God. We know that in all things, God, you are able. Amen. Lord, you're able to touch our lives, take care of us, God. We thank you for loving us. Hallelujah. We love you because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Spoke to us, God, and drew us, amen, into your bosom, into your presence. Hallelujah. I pray that somehow that you would just allow your healing virtue to flow throughout these people tonight, Sister G. Amen. Lord, Carrie's request that she had, Brother Chuck. Hallelujah, Lord. There's just so many around that have those needs. Amen. This family having the baby, Sister Carrie's shoes, Lord. Her family, Lord, I pray that you just touch and bless them. More than anything, these people that we pray for, Lord, amen. Let us hold them up spiritually before you. Not all are probably saved, amen. And I pray that you open avenues, God, that we can reach into this community, amen. Lord, that we can, through our ministry, Lord, to touch the lives of many people. Hallelujah, Lord. And so we ask for your blessings. Bless us tonight as we teach your word. Amen, God. And we're going to ask, Lord, that you just continue to bless this church. Hallelujah. Let your presence and your power fall on us, God. Hallelujah. I pray that you, amen. Amen. Just anoint Brother Johnson, God, and his dear wife, Lord, that they would just fall into the city, Lord, and meet the people of the city and have a wise intuition, God, to everyone. Hallelujah, Lord, in your lovely name, in your lovely name, we ask in Jesus' name, praise the Lord, hallelujah. This is a Bible study night, and so I'm going to allow you to be seated, and I know you can do that anyway, but we will be in Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to minister there throughout this whole chapter. To get out of here before midnight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Put this up here where I can keep it. Hallelujah. We are living in a, I think more and more people are saying this every day, in a very strange environment. Amen. When it comes to, the people that are in the world today, and there's great conflict between. I don't know that I've ever seen our political parties so much, against one another, not, caring for one another. I don't think it's always been that way, but if it has been, this is probably the worst that we have seen. If you're on social media at all, you realize that there are people that just kind of demonstrate all day long, all night long, a hate message for somebody they don't like, and others are there trying to bless and pick up and whatever it is. We just need to pray for our country. Every now and then I think I probably should put on a statement of someone that says when they talk about the Bible, it really kind of gets me when somebody that really doesn't have any knowledge of the Word tries to use the Word. Amen. Like they had a statement on one that says that, a certain segment of people could not, does not want to see this message, and so they're going to keep you from it. And so I did respond to the message, and come to find out the person didn't realize that the nation was Israel, was still immigrants, all of them going from Egypt into the promised land, and people were joined, and they liked the idea that they were all taken in and made one group. And I put on there in Leviticus, I said it's a book of laws, and the laws given us to there and guides us through that. Same token, I said, it does say that we should take strangers in, but those strangers in the Leviticus law says that you got to listen to, but they've got to listen to you and obey your laws, amen, and they didn't come back after that. They just kind of left me out there hanging, but, I'm glad I got to do that because, your world just wants to think it knows everything, amen. We're living in a time to where, I don't know, I guess a few years ago, Al Gore was the one that kind of opened up everybody's eyes and lives to what it's going to be like in a few years when climate change takes full force and we're all going to be, your earth is going to blow up or burn up or flood out or, all kinds of things that are there, they're saying. And so he was one that says, he wrote a book called An Inconvenient Truth, and it was all about how we are ruining our atmosphere of this world, planet Earth. I saw somebody talking today about how that, of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a young lady that is saying that the world's probably going to be not even be here in 12 years. And they're all concerned about those things happening. And I got another thing off the internet today that wasn't on social media, and it had a long list, probably about two pages, and they're asking for more of companies that will support them in their cause. And those two pages were full when I looked at them, and that is that they're trying to raise money, to be able to stop this terrible thing that's happening to planet Earth. Amen. But they were talking about 10 years, 12 years. We start talking about the coming of the Lord, amen, and we got that beat by far, amen, when it comes to what God really wants to do. It's going to be, it's not that they're going to have this climate change and have all this help. What's going to happen is down the line, amen, if people do not submit themselves to God, they're going to be underneath his convictions and things that goes on as far as life goes. And so they're trying to kind of sidestep the church. And we know, amen, with no doubt, that this earth doesn't belong to man. It belongs to God. Amen. And he is the one, no matter what the odds are. I think he's shown us enough. And I don't know that I like to look at all these tornadoes or something, but there is a wrath of God, I think, in somewhere there to where people are losing lives, amen, by natural tragedies and other things. And it's very disturbing to them and very concerning for us. But we've got to keep in mind that it's God that is over these things. Amen. It's not man. It's not a Republican Party. It's not an independent party. It's not a Democratic Party. It's not rich people. It's not poor people. Amen. It's just, I think if it's got to do with anything of people going, it's those people that are refusing to live for God, walk in his commandments, do his will to where God can bless a world. And we've, but in our world today, we've pretty well have tried to put God in a place to where he cannot do anything, and man can do that, and when he suffers the wrath of that type of behavior, then we will see a real scare. Amen. Today we have fear. I can't imagine being afraid of what I've seen in life so far anyway. But they're talking about within about 10 years, I might be going crazy. Amen. I don't know what I'll be like, but they're quick to put it out there. We only got 10 years. If we don't do something quickly, in 10 years, we're going to blow up. Amen. And, let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. And what I will do today is probably just read and treat you a little bit along. I've got some extra things to add here. But Revelation chapter 22. And it seems like Revelation chapter 22 would be something that would be very scary, but actually it's the chapters before that, amen, probably starting around from the time that they went astray and they live in chaos and, a quarter or the third of the population of the world is killed, and later on another third of the population of the world. Now, think about living in that environment, amen, that is out there. And so we have a God that is just a great God, a great rewarder of us. And so let's look at the Revelation 22. Hope you have your Bibles with you. Amen. And he says, and we will not stand because, like I said, I'm going to do this on a few different segments, and so I don't want to have to put you going up and down all the time. Just don't fall asleep. If you find yourself falling asleep, just stand up and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he showed me a pure river water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, which yielded her fruit every month, and to the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nation. By the time we get to this point in the reading of the scripture and of the timing of that, we realize that the world has pretty well moved, I believe, beyond the boundaries of just this city. We've gone into a place where we're going to be in the presence of God. The Lord has called us there, and so he is just kind of taking this angel, and through this angel presenting to us of these things that we will see. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. Amen. But yet, when it comes to what God wants to give, we look at this, and he lets us know, and I think it would be a tremendous invitation to people in the world at this time that this tree and its fruit and its leaves were for the healing of nations. God has always loved nations. He would love every nation, amen, to have God in their heart and in the majority, amen, of their life and what they're going through. And so he brings this out and just kind of showing us a picture as it goes on. And it says, and there shall be no more curse. The curse is over. Whatever it was upon whatever people and folks today, I believe, when we look at the Mediterranean, some of the stories, storms that have happened and the islands, amen, off to the east of Florida, We find a lot of people. I know the Bahamas, we've gone there a few years ago and had a great time there. A beautiful city, beautiful church. Amen. And that is a church. Puerto Rico a year ago, and now this Bahama Islands were hitting pretty hard, and a number of people were killed in those things, and they're still uncovering. And so let's pray for those people also. They're very close to our kids down there and not very far away. But some people will say there is a curse upon this earth. And there is a curse, because we know that that cursed one, amen, is the one that makes chaos and havoc out of what is going on in society. And so now he is out to the point to where he wants to deal with these people. He puts them in their place, and he goes on and talks about this healing of nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. No doubt about the identity of these people. They want to people, amen. And of course, in heaven, I know that everybody in heaven is going to be in heaven. And hopefully, they're pretty good people. Hallelujah. But it seems as if that there is a little bit of a carryover of some of the things that he has to say about the wicked. And I believe that most of us can identify with the fact, if you've ever gone through a serious illness and you're on the other side, you make it and it's okay, but you still can have some memories that need to be dealt with. And I don't know if when we get to heaven that will all be blotted out. I don't think so, because we are going to see the way that God rewards his people. Amen. And some of that comes through protection. And you cannot be around a curse of a power. Amen. But notice it says, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Hallelujah. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so now we move into the realm to where our future is unending. Amen. We can walk as far as we walk and do as much as we want to do and do whatever. But when we get to heaven, we're going to realize the fact that we are there forever and ever. It's kind of hard to imagine that you would have a scenario like that and you'd think, you know, won't we get bored? I don't believe we will. Amen. I don't believe we are going to play golf. I don't believe we're going to play basketball. I don't think women will be knitting. Amen. Like they're supposed to. Hallelujah. Or wood down here. But there are just some things in this life that we have that are very hard, you know, to let go of. And our first thought is our children. We want that to be there. And part of my thought of this tonight is the fact that I'm hearing this about the, the climate change and all that stuff. And I get to a place a little bit in the study to where we can really maybe touch that on my head on. But, you know, our children are a motivation to us. Amen. It's something that even when they do things that we don't like, amen, we still pray for them. Amen. And hopefully that when we see that in our children and your children, you can hope that God will just begin to add to this church and let it grow. Amen. And it's imperative that we need to go out of our way to remember, because I guess the emphasis of this message is that we are living in a world to where everything is just kind of blasé. And we're not over worried about anything. We have enough of so many things to where we've got people in our own houses that need to have an intercessor praying for them. We have friends in this city and that need God in the last few days. Matter of fact, I've tried this ever since I've been back from Wheaton area, but I try to go to a place and try to meet with somebody that I can have a good conversation. Most of them are not saved. They're good men. They don't always talk the way I want them to talk. But I was a coal miner at one time. And they talk bad in the coal mines. You know, and all I did was just kind of act like I, you know, just ignored and everything else that was going on. And the Lord does that. But, when it came to that type of style, it's good to get away from things that just want to bring you down. Amen. And yet when you're being brought down, you don't want to ever forget about God. Amen. Because he is the life source to our children. Amen. They're the ones that deserve our prayers. Our neighbors ought to look at us as being the best neighbors they've ever had. Amen. The people that we work with, we ought to work far above and beyond what maybe they do because of the fact we want to leave a good example. We don't want to make anybody mad in this world, and there's people that are just waiting to get mad. Amen. And don't like this. I appreciate our school system. I don't know how it's going now, but a number of years ago, we went through a little process to where we had kids that were wanting to be exempted from PE. They didn't feel comfortable being in PE. And so one of the guys that's not in our school district, but one of the guys that's in the county district at that time said, no, they're going to have to go to this, you know, go here and partake in PE. We cannot excuse that. And so they said, no way. So I called a lawyer down in Champaign, I believe it was, and she told us, she says, you know what, we've dealt with this about 3 or 4 times now, and we've made up our mind, we're not going to deal with it anymore. If you want to call that man back and tell him he's crazy and stupid, you tell him he can call me. And she stood behind our church, you know, so that, you know, I was grateful for that. Not everybody has that kind of leadership that is there. But, you know, God gave us light. And it's not going to be darkness. Amen. It's going to be the light of God reflecting upon our everlasting line, life forever and ever. He says in verse 6, and he said unto them, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things that must be done shortly. And then he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so now there is a blessing that goes out that we know of, amen, that there is a blessing upon those, amen, that are familiar with the word of God and especially prophecy. I think imperative. I don't try to predict things. I don't think in the years I've added a lot of things of myself, revelation, motivation. One reason I guess I do that is because I'm on to it. If it goes great, it's great, but if it doesn't happen, you know, you're not hanging out there on a limb somewhere. We think we know. Maybe there's some things we think that will happen. And it will happen, but whether it was the way we were thinking, amen, or studying about, amen, it's not there anymore. But there, we know this one thing, that God, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God, his holy prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things which must be done shortly, or shortly, must shortly be done. And he says, behold, quick, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so we deal with our spirit of an attitude of prophecy. You know, when God puts the blessing on reading this book, and it's one of the few books, if not the only one, that God is going to bless and makes a commitment to them that they need to be reading this book. And I've told people for a number of years now, I said, I really don't know how it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. And I got a sense that if you're trying to outsmart God, you're going to be on the losing side. So just be patient and know that he's your God. You're okay. Amen. And he will reveal things. You know, I was born in 1948. The year Israel became a nation. I was saved in 1967, the day that we went into Jerusalem. Amen. I thought I was almost like a holy prophet there for a while. Yeah. Hallelujah. But I didn't know that. But I've noticed this, that when you read the word and something happens prophetically and you seem to be feeling that in your society, then you know that you can come and put that aside. I got an answer. And I think God is more willing to show us where we are and where we're going than, or excuse me, where we were, amen, more so than what we are headed toward. And yet when they head towards something, and it will be disturbing, and we've gone through those times as individual families and people, and now as a nation, God is still in control of that. Hallelujah. So you don't have to tell everybody everything. Amen. I think that it's good for us to go through the study. I think the Bible says that man's going to be blessed. and honored if he, you know, studies this book. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Amen. I need to keep track on my time here. And then he saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and the brethren and the prophets, or the brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the saying of the book, worship God. Amen. It's not, you know, the fact that the people were giving homage or direction toward these individual people that are there, that they were falling before the angel. The angel was blessing them, and part of that blessing is worship God. Don't worship people. Don't worship the pastor. Don't worship the people that make you mad. Amen. Don't, you know, get all wrapped up in people that make you happy. Amen. Just live your life in a way to where you believe God and his word, and I'm going to worship God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the devil does not like for us to worship God. Amen. God treated him pretty mean. He was mean already. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy, for the book is in the time, is for the time at hand. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, amen, be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Conditions that evidently in the line and in the path that they were taking before this angel is that there was a message not just for those men that have made it and made it the way it should be made, amen, but there were those, amen, that he is dealing with, it's just recalling their history, if nothing else, amen, to let them know that we have to be careful in the way that we walk and who we serve and what we do, amen, and we come to this and we let God take care of us. He says in I think I turned my page over too early here. When he talks to them and lets them know that, seal not the sayings of this prophecy. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, filthy still. Amen. He that is righteous, righteous still. He that is holy, holy still. Amen. Your life is going to define that. You know, whether you were holy, whether you were righteous, amen, whether you were not those things, amen, but unjust and filthy, we come into an environment to where those type of people will be around us, and hopefully, amen, when we get to heaven, there will be none, amen. So the Lord makes this promise, verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last. Amen. I'm going to come quick. It's been a long time, but when God comes, he will come suddenly. Amen. He will come with force. Amen. He will come to his people. And then he establishes, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I've always been, am today, and always will be, amen, the one that runs this universe. Amen, or a new universe, if we have that and happen. But whatever it will be, I don't worry about it because I think God will be well aware of taking care of everything that I would need, especially there. But he did not drop in these few verses? He did not drop from getting to the word, amen, work. Amen. You know, we need to always have a desire to work. Now, some people probably would call worship work, but worship's worship. But it does a work. Amen. And I believe that it comes upon us as God anoints us, amen, to make those things around about us with that. And so identifies that, you know, who he is, where he will be, amen, And we know that also in this writing that there is a reward for every man's work. We're not going to get to heaven and just, I can't imagine that we would get there and not want to participate. Does not understand worship or praise or prayer or fasting or holiness or righteousness or unjustness. They understand maybe these things, but as God comes along, he works with us there. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. Not just blessed are those that know his commandments, but those that do it. You ever get in a crowd and find yourself and people that maybe you know and have known for a long time, and they're Christians, but they don't know anything about the Word? That's why it's important in this apostolic Pentecostal movement that we keep the Word. Amen. Paul was writing to Timothy and says, you know, Timothy, you preach the Word. Amen. Johnny Davis used to tell me that all the time. You know, you just preach the Word. You don't have to make up pretty stories. Just preach the Word. Amen. Let God's Word come forth. And good stories are always good. I just could never make any up. Hallelujah. But that's how he wants us there. And so blessed are they that do his commandments. You know, if you're doing it here on earth, I can just imagine a reward that you're going to have in heaven. Amen. And you're going to want to do things. Even though there's no dust on the gold, you still want to wipe it off. And everything would be in perfect order, and you don't really need a husbandman, or you don't need somebody tilling the gardens, or, you know, doing all the jobs that we have to do in this world, except they want to do something. And worship is a good thing for them to do. Amen. That they may have right to the tree of life. Amen. The tree of life is not just something that's there. Amen. But they have a right to the tree of life. Amen. That's your right that you will have when you get to heaven. Amen. This tree of life, not of death, but of life. Amen. That you may enter into through the gates. And so there is another reward just to be able to come in the very center presence of where God was. For he says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolatries, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie. I don't know if he's talking about present or if he's talking about people that were like the rich man and Lazarus that looked up and saw Lazarus, you know. And he says, well, you know what, can you go and send me some men and testify to my brothers, the five of them, I think it was in the Word, amen, and lest they come to this place. You know, he realized what he could have done if he would have been in the presence of God and the power of God and walking underneath the auspices of God's Word and His Spirit, amen. But yet, they didn't want that, and so he looks, amen, and then he says, well, you know what, they got Moses and the prophets. No, they wouldn't hear Moses and the prophets. You know, they still like to tell God no. You know? And that's where we come as a fault in our lives, to where when we are around people that we know that we have needs, I don't believe you should just walk into every building, every day, every time, talk to somebody about Jesus, turn around and get on some other subject. Amen. It's something that we need to realize that everybody needs to know who Jesus is. And not everybody in this world does. As a matter of fact, I've almost would say they're in a great majority of people that are upon this earth, because there is a wide way and then there is a narrow way, amen, that we've got to enter into this way that is called straight, while others go to a damnation. For without our dogs, I looked that up in the Greek, I don't know why, but it meant hounds. That's what the Greek word that I looked up, and I think it was Strong's. You know, and now I know where Elvis got that message. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. And this is pertaining, I know, to men as they live their life, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Amen. Nothing fancy. I probably ought to take those sermon notes off out of that little case in the back of the church that Brother Wells put up, because it had me the sermon I preached years ago on whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, and I entitled it just Lying Lovers. Got the church straightened out for 1 week anyway. Praise the Lord. And whosoever maketh this lie, and Jesus said, I have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And he did address in the book of Revelation to the churches and what their good points were and what their bad points were. But he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Amen. I am this one that I chose through David, amen, to lead his people and bless his people, and as much as anything else, how to worship God, amen, and work for God and do the things of God. Perfect man? No, not, probably even close what we would judge in our days today. But he is this one that did pursue after God. When things happened, he didn't give up. That's the difference of why we're here and others aren't, is because we've not given up. And we've been in this for a long time and a long way, and we've had our trials and our troubles, amen, but we don't give it up because, amen, he is the one that is going to keep us as a root and offspring of David. He's the bright and morning star. And so God now says, I'm going to bless those that are commandment keepers. You keep those commandments and do the will of God. And that's what he, in that segment of scripture that he is covering, in the chapter, or verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The bride says, come. To him that heareth say, come. To him that is thirsty, amen, say, come. They knew that they need the presence of the Lord to come to them. Amen. That there's not always that time that we can get to him. Amen. And so he comes to us. I would say probably in the majority of the time, and I don't know how great of a majority, God spends as much time with us in fellowship to where he appreciates our friendship and what we do and what we know and where we go and the fun times that we have. And so when he says, when he is athirst, whosoever will, let him drink or take of the water of life freely. God's got a lot of water. And it doesn't cost a thing. You don't have to get thirsty. But I believe that he addresses us even on earth. And the writer of Revelation knows that we're still here. That taste of water. It will never run out. Amen. It will never lose its ability, amen, to sustain you. But when you're working in life, you've got to have something that will stand out in that environment that you're living in. For I testify, verse 18, to every man that heareth these words of the prophecy, that if any man adds to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. He's really dealing more with judgment than he is being at the whole other end of the spectrum. And so he knows that. And so there is I wouldn't say a curse, but there was a condemnation given to them. Amen. That if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. This angel has the knowledge of the whole thing. Amen. Sometimes he will talk behind you. Sometimes he talks with you. And other times he talks ahead of you. Because now he's dealing with plagues, and there's not going to be plagues in heaven. And there's not going to be those sicknesses once we're in heaven. But this is almost like promotion day. Going to remind us where we've been, what we've done, and been through. Verse 20, he which testifieth of these things says, surely I come quickly. And the prophet says, even so, come quickly. Amen. Came the Lord Jesus Christ. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. When God comes, it will be like lightning. Amen. That flashes in the sky. It will be that fast. It will be beyond our comprehension, amen, to know that God has such a thing, amen, as that at his disposal. But the Spirit and the bride say, come. And then he says, I testify to every man that hears the word of this prophecy, if any man shall add to these things, let me get down to where I belong, amen. If any man take away from this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Verse 20, he that testified these things says, surely I come quickly. It's going to happen suddenly. Amen. That things can happen with our relationship with God come quickly. And if we're not careful, we let just kind of dwell in that one come quickly. Amen. Instead of realizing that there are more that need to see what we're seeing. Hallelujah. Trying to think who it was that I heard years ago. I talked to a person and knew a person. He was in one of our churches, I know, but he was addressing the fact that where God is going to come when his church is ready for him. She is a bride that's made herself ready. And he was the one that directed them, talking about our Lord and Savior. Amen. And as he deals with them in that way, he said, well, I think putting the right words. We don't want to get to the point to where we come back and look at this church and our relationship that we have with God to the point to where, yeah, I've been blessed, I've done this, but we all of a sudden we're staying out of, you know, maybe we teach a Sunday school class, I'm not saying that, or you know, God really wants to help us do more than what we know we're doing. And if we're doing more than what God was, amen, the Lord is saying to us, you know, surely I come quickly. The hearer says, amen. Even so, amen. And so he deals with that. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so we have this word come, amen, that is dealing with us, which really means that I want you to come into my presence to help me, amen, and to know that when you come quickly. It would almost be as if that we were get to a place to where when God comes, amen, we have got to work our best. And when I say work, evidently work's okay. Sometimes people are going to tell you, you don't have to work. How conveniently. What a great way to fill a pew. I don't want to sing. I don't want to, you know, do any cleaning. I don't want to do this. I just don't see that. I guess two services and you folks are still around. Just let me have one or the other and get out of here. They don't really want to become involved. They don't want to really do that. And then we wonder, you know, we're always coming back. And this is another thing that you can read in Facebook any day you want to, of people that you know and you know well, but they are doing absolutely nothing for their church, let alone our church. Amen. They're people that are not pure in heart. They're not people that are succeeding in their life. And God is coming back, and he throws this out to the church and says, behold, I come quickly. And somebody says, amen. Even so, let it be just like that, Lord. Come back quickly to us because, amen, we can't wait around. I want to tell you, there was a time that that hold you back, Lord, because I don't want to lose myself. I don't want to lose any others. I want to have a relationship with you. And so the Lord says, behold, I come quickly. Amen. And they just say, or surely I come quickly. And they say, amen. Even so. That's what even so means. Yes. He wants us to be a yes people. That when God responds with a commandment, when God responds with a calling, when God responds in things like this, he wants to be to the place to where everybody would like to get a hold of it, amen, and keep a hold of it and work within that. Why, Brother Davis? Because he is coming. And one of the best ways, remember when Brother Hurd used to go around and preach revivals? He was a great preacher and he preached on prophecy. Amen. I think it was Brother Tenney told somebody, man, he scares me to death. church, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's been a month or it's been 2 months, and they need a new car and new appliances and things to spend their money on and places to go and things to do, and I won't name them all because we'll all feel guilty if I do that, amen, but we want God to come, and to be honest with you, the more hungry and the more thirsty we are for him to come back. I mean, I can almost see where God would have a little presence for that. I don't know if they love me enough for that. I don't know if they care for me enough, amen, to be in the place that they need to be, amen, because God is very concerned about the lost as well as he is his church. I'm not saying he loves the world. He loves his church, amen, and ordained it that it is through this church that people find salvation. Amen. If we don't know the plan of salvation, we learn the plan of salvation. If we don't know, amen, anything else that comes along, we have to do our very best to stand up and be exactly what God wants us to be. For the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. At least we end with grace. Grace can help you through so many things. I know we're saved by grace, and it's just, you know, everybody just thinks, than what a lot of denominational churches would have today, but I do believe that God's grace just makes it easier. And God's grace lets us know that we're wanted. And God's grace lets us know that it's not the world that he wants to see in us, amen, but he wants to see his wisdom and his knowledge in front of himself. And so he wants to lift up the church in this last day that we're living in, and this is what really drew me to this, is the fact that I don't know if God's going to come if we're not getting ourselves ready. And so we have to get ourselves ready and know that, hey, I'm talking to my neighbor. I'm talking to my friends. I'm doing my very best to win that soul. I know they're living in a cheap race society. Amen. Where they can come in and just about do anything they want. But we're still waiting. But let's wait in a way in which we're winning and we're working and we're hoping and praying that God, when he comes, you know, it's going to be that right time. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you have poured out your Spirit upon us, each and every one. Lord, we know why you did that. You did it, God, so that we can witness to you in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost of the world. Lord, I pray that you anoint us, God, and direct us and help us, hallelujah, Lord, to become more soul winners because, Lord, surely we want you to come back quickly and powerfully. We want you to come to us, God, as you're the winner and we are with you, Lord, in whatever you're doing. Hallelujah, Lord, in your lovely name, in your lovely name, in your lovely name. Think of somebody right now that you know is lost. Amen. And let's just bring up that name. Amen. For a few moments and say, Lord, he is a friend. Hallelujah. Had a man pull in my driveway today, God. Hallelujah. Hadn't seen him in a while. He's been on my heart for a number of years. Hallelujah. But he just saw me in the yard. I pray that you would touch Gary. Hallelujah, Lord, that you would open his heart. He's been in this church before, Lord, and I believe he loves you, God. So many of them did not ever take the time to really how to learn, amen, God, how to worship you and serve you and belong to you. Lord, we're asking for your help. Hallelujah, make us teachers. Hallelujah, make us, God, those that know how to communicate. Hallelujah, with people as they go through the various things of life. Everybody's got different problems, so we need your wisdom. Hallelujah. Everybody is getting weaker, so God, we need your power. Hallelujah. There are those that are resisting, God, that just need a little help and a little push to move them in the right direction. And so, Lord, in your lovely name, we want to see you come back quickly. Hallelujah. Even so, hallelujah, come, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, let us ask for your anointing every day when we give up. Hallelujah, as we go through our life. Hallelujah, Lord, there is a sense of urgency. I think we're seeing too many things in this world. Amen, it doesn't scare me because I really know who's boss. Hallelujah, but Lord, I pray, hallelujah, that somehow we can help those that are so lost. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.